All right, well, tonight we're going to continue in Genesis chapter 24. We're going to try to get through the rest of the chapter. Just to recap a little bit, you know, we talked about last week that there's a spiritual typology in chapter 24. You know, the father, there's Abraham being a type of the father, Isaac being a type of the son, the unnamed servant being a type of the Holy Spirit, and Rebecca being a type of the church. And so we're going to see a little bit more of that typology here as we go through the chapter. There's four things that we ventured out to do last week. We got through two of them. That's one, it was God's covenant to Abraham, God's promise to Abraham. And we talked about those promises that God made to Abraham. We also talked about promises that God has made us. And then we talked about the confidence that Abraham had in those covenants. And the same thing for us. We could be confident in the promises that God gives us. And then the last two we'll be covering tonight is God, or Abraham, and the servant commencing or beginning to commence on those promises. Because he was confident of those promises, we're going to see that he began to put into action what God had called him to do. And so we'll bring some application, hopefully, for us as well. And then there's the completion of what Abraham set out to do, and that's to obtain a wife for Isaac, the son. And so we'll see how that is completed, and that'll be verses 28 through 67. So we'll start with Abraham and his servants commencing of God's promise. But before we do, let's just come before the Lord again and just pray that he would just bless our time here together. And Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, again for gathering us here, Lord. We believe by faith, Lord, that you are here with us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would instruct us and teach us. And I pray, Lord, that you would take these words and that you would anoint them and you would just speak to us individually, corporately, Lord God. And that, Lord, you would use it, Lord God, to just conform us more and more into your image, Jesus. It would be less of us and more of you. So we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I try to do four C's, so I use the word commence, but let me give you some synonyms of what that means. It means to begin, to initiate, to launch, to embark on, to get cracking, to get going, to get one's feet wet, get the show on the road, or hit the ground running. And so we will see here how God answered Abraham's prayers and his diligence to follow his plans and his promises, God's plans, God's promises. And although it was a divine providence, it was God that was going to do this, it was also human responsibility to follow God's plan. So there's three things that we're going to see in verses 10 through 28. One is the preparation. There's the preparation, the servant preparing to go out and find a wife for Isaac. Two, there's the petition or the prayer that the servant is going to have. And then three, there's God's provision, God's provision. So number one, the preparation, verse 10, Genesis 24, verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. So we see here that the servant begins to prepare for his journey of almost 500 miles to go to the city of Nahor. He not only brings 10 camels, which was a great sign of wealth in that day, but later on we'll find out that he brought servants and great treasures as gifts for Rebekah and her family. So we see not only was the servant trusted, as we seen last week, with the task of finding a suitable wife for Isaac, he was also entrusted with all, it says there in verse 10, with all that Abraham had. And so a question we must ask is, are we trustworthy servants of God? And the servant was not just a servant, but he was a steward. He was a steward of all that had been entrusted to Abraham. So the definition of a steward is a manager, a superintendent to whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs. So for us, you might be thinking, well, what are we stewards of? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. And here's the answer. Stewards of the mysteries of God. The gospel message. What do we have to do with this mystery? So this is what's been entrusted to us. But what are we to do with it? Well, it says there, we have to be faithful. Be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. To be found faithful with something that belongs to someone else. That's what the servant was doing with Abraham's goods. Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar verse to us. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We love that part, that verse, right? I love that verse. But then he says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have been given a ministry of reconciling sinful man to holy God. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Again, that's being that bridge between sinful man and holy God, that we could bring them together. That's the ministry we've been given. Because the Bible says that man is at enmity with God. Before we come to know Christ, we're at odds with God. Now, verse 20, then we are ambassadors or representatives for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So he's saying, like, as if God himself was saying, be reconciled to God. You could find forgiveness. Like, if God himself was doing that through us. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this is the treasure that we have received and been entrusted with. So we have to ask the Lord, help us. Help us with this treasure that we've been given, that we may be faithful with this treasure that God has given us. Be faithful to communicate the gospel message. Be faithful to be good stewards. So now, back in Genesis, the servant gets to the city of Nahor. And I'm sure he was thinking, how am I going to find a wife for Isaac? Right? Am I going to hand out applications? Am I going to set a tent up and do interviews? Like The Bachelor? Am I going to send out a tweet, post it in Facebook? How about if I run a Miss Nahor contest and start scoring the eligible women in categories like well-dressed, good posture, carries the pot gracefully? I mean, think about it. He's thinking, like, how is this going to happen? How is this going to be accomplished? I mean, this must have been worrisome for the servant. He didn't want to pick the wrong one, right? He didn't want to pick the wrong wife for Isaac. Abraham had him swear to an oath. And it couldn't just be any. Was he just going to pick just the first good-looking girl that was there? I remember when I was younger, my dad did a lot of home remodeling projects. And he would ask me, we would be upstairs in the attic, and we were remodeling our house at that time. It was making bedrooms up there because our house wasn't big enough for all four. We had four boys that were in the family. And I dreaded it because he would ask me to go get him a nail or go get him a piece of wood. Now, I would go in the garage, and there's like five different types of nails. Which one do I bring? I mean, I used to be so scared that I was going to bring the wrong nail. He said, go get me a nail. Like, I was supposed to know which nail to get. And I'd go down there and be like, oh, my gosh, which nail am I going to bring? And I was so scared to bring back the wrong thing. Or he said, go get me a piece of wood. I'd go out there and there'd be 30 different pieces of wood. Do I get the 2x4, the 1x2? I didn't know that's what they were called back then. But I just remember thinking in my head. And my mom, she was so sweet. She would come down and help me and give me the right thing so that I wouldn't get yelled at. Can I go upstairs? That's not it. I'm like, I hated it. I dreaded it. And, you know, I could just think of how worrisome the servant was. Like, how is he going to go about picking, you know, the right wife for Isaac? So we'll see in verse 11 here that it's the petition. So there was the preparation, but now there's the petition, the prayer. In verse 11, he says, "And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels to drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.'" So what does he do? He starts by going to the city of Nahor, to the well where it says the daughters of the men of the city were coming to draw water. And then does he just look for the first good-looking girl? No, we'll see in these verses, he's looking and asking the Lord not only for outward beauty, but inner character, like we talked about last week a little bit. He's looking for a woman of character, a pure, a kind, a generous, a hard-working wife for Isaac. He's asking also for the specific one the Lord has appointed. He doesn't want to settle. Remember, we talked about Abraham not wanting to compromise. He didn't want to settle. He wants the best for his master and for his son Isaac. And that's a good lesson for you that are single. Don't settle. Wait for the one that God has appointed for you. And so that's what his prayer is. He prays, "Lord, give me success this day. Give me success. Give my master Abraham, answer his prayers, and also for Isaac." He prays for himself, for Abraham, and for Isaac. So then we see the provision in verse 15. And it says, "And it happened before he had finished speaking." Now verse 45 tells us that he was speaking in his heart. He wasn't speaking out loud. It wasn't that Rebecca heard everything that she said and says, "Oh, okay, I'm going to do it." It says that he was speaking in his heart. And here the Lord answers his prayer quickly. And I love it when the Lord does that. But does he do it all the time? No, it doesn't do it all the time. And also, I believe that Abraham and the servant have been praying for a while. This wasn't a small trip. Remember, it's 500 miles. Could have been a month to 2 months. And I'm sure this isn't the first time the servant prayed. I'm sure along the way he's been praying, "Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Show me which one." So although it may seem like it was a quick prayer, I do believe it's been a culmination of prayers, probably from Abraham from long, long, long ago. The Lord knows what we need and hears our prayers even before we pray them. I love that. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. And we're going to see that as we're busy about God's business and seeking first his kingdom, that things just seem to kind of fall into place when we put first things first. And it says there in Matthew, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." He knows what we had need of. So back in verse 15, it says, "And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin no man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please, let me a drink of water from your pitcher.' So she said, 'Drink, my lord.'" And then, I love this, we're going to see this many times where it said quickly, or she ran. So these are characteristics that we look in her. And she says, "She quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking.'" Wow. You know, I could see her saying, "You know what? I'll give your camels some water. Or why don't you pick your favorite camel and I'll give that one water till he's finished drinking." He said, think about 10 camels. Now, we have to understand that a thirsty camel, remember, they're on a 500-mile journey. A thirsty camel can drink as many as 30 gallons of water in about 13 minutes. A gallon of water weighs 8.3 pounds. If the pitcher held, let's say, 3 pounds, that was 25 to 30 pounds, right? With the water and with the pitcher, you have to put that in there. And let's say that, you know, they drank 10 gallons, right? That's probably about 50 to 100 trips to water these camels. No small task. It was probably less than that. It could have been less than 100, probably maybe 50, but we see that she was generous. She was kind. She was a hard-working woman. So I don't think he was just looking for somebody of beauty, but somebody of inner character. And that's important for you singles that are looking for a spouse. You know? I thank the Lord personally. I have one of these wives. Lisa, my wife, she's a hired worker, and there's many here in the church. Nina and Joanna and Debbie, and there's so many others that are very hardworking in the fellowship here. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing when you have a wife with these characteristics. And those are things that you should look for. But picking up back in verse 20, it says, "Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough." So we see again here, quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her, he's thinking, "Man, what a hardworking woman." I mean, he's just like looking at her like in wonder. And the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's thinking, could this be the one? I mean, it's kind of comical in a way because he prays this specific prayer and immediately Rebekah comes, answers all his prayers to the T, and then he says, could this be the one? That's how we are many times, right? Like, Lord, could this be you? I mean, think of how specific the answer was. But also, I think the servant is saying this. Yes, she has all the characteristics, but is she of Abraham's household? For us, it would be, is she or is he a Christian? That's what we should be asking. Okay, so they have all the right characteristics, but are they Christian? Right, we talked a little bit last week about not being unequally yoked. So I think that's what he's saying. Okay, she has all the right characters, but is she of Abraham's household? That's what we should be asking. But we see so many in the church, they go against us. It's clear in Scripture, and so many go against it. But let's see what happens here in verse 22. It says, "So it was when the animals, or the camels, which are animals, had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. And I just see this as a beautiful picture of like the Holy Spirit. If he's a picture of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit putting a seal on our lives. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." And so I just see this as a picture of just kind of like that seal of what's to come. We're going to see there's greater gifts to come in just a few short verses here. But picking up back in verse 23, "And he said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, who she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough in room to lodge. Then, when he heard this, the answer to prayer, right, the provision, then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." And I love that about this servant. We're just going to see that over and over and over. And it's something that we can't forget to do. You know, a lot of times we pray for the Lord, answer prayer, and then we forget to thank him. But it's so important that we worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we're going to see this about this servant. He was a man of prayer, and he worshiped the Lord. In verse 27, "And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me," and I think this is so important, we're going to spend a little time here. "As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He is saying, "Lord, I praise you, because when I was 500 miles away with my master and Rebekah was in Nahor, you knew exactly how to lead me." This is me reading, not in the scripture. "You knew exactly how to lead me and where I was, where she was, so that I could be led specifically and directly to her." That he would meet the needs of his master to pick a bride for Isaac. It reminds me of Psalm 37:23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Did the servant know what was going to happen when he left Abraham's house? Did he plan in advance to meet Rebekah at the well? Did he know he was going to ask for the sign of watering the camel? No, I believe he didn't know any of this. In fact, he didn't know for sure that he would find the right girl or that she would be willing to return with him, even if he did find her. Remember last week? He asked Abraham, what if she doesn't want to come back with me? He had no idea. The only thing he knew that was God would guide his steps one step at a time across the desert in hopes that it would be precisely at the right moment where God wanted him to be, that God would provide for his prayer, for his master's prayer. And we see that's exactly what happened. Now listen, I used to be a mechanic at a car dealership for many years. And we used to have to push cars in every now and then. And one thing we learned is that you never try to steer the car until after you have it moving. Because it's a lot easier to steer a moving car than it is for it to be stuck still. Right? And it says, "As I was on the way, he led me." As he was on the way, he led me. I believe we will walk into God's providential plans as we are trusting in his promises and walking along the way. Now, I've experienced this myself in my work life, in church, in just life in general. And I just want to give you a couple examples. I remember I used to do a home Bible study some years ago, and we had two marriages that came out of those Bible studies. And now, did they come with the intention to get married? No. There's no ulterior motive. They just came to worship, to hear the word, to fellowship, and it just happened. Listen, Rebekah was busy in her father's home, just doing daily chores when God stepped into her life and made clear to her the path for marriage he had for her. We're going to read later that Isaac was in the field at evening meditating on the Lord. The best way to seek a mate, listen, is not to. Is not to, but rather to seek to serve the Lord. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Along the way, the Lord led Abraham. And there's other experiences I had. I remember when the girls were probably 6 and 7 years old, I wanted to just start serving with them to do some type of outreach. So we started going with a friend of mine, Oscar Camacho. He's home with the Lord now, but we used to go to a nursing home in Parrington, and I wanted to take the girls and just go somewhere. So we just started going to the nursing home, and we would go Sunday and just go and just hang out the Bible study that was already given by somebody else, and we would just talk to older people. And, you know, I didn't have any intention other than just to do that. And then I remember that my pastor at the time had said, hey, this nursing home that was not too far away from our house, they're looking for somebody to start a Bible study at the nursing home. And, you know, so we started doing that. We did that for 2 or 3 years. We just went and did Sunday afternoon services at the nursing home. But it was along the way. It wasn't that I was saying, I want to go to the nursing home and start. So what I'm saying is, you know, it's along the way. It's along the way. Just simply just serving the Lord with no ulterior motive than, Lord, I just want to serve you. And he'll bring circumstances to pass. Same here as a Sunday school overseer. I remember just coming to New Beginnings when it first started and just doing sound. I was a Sunday school teacher for many, many years, and I was just happy coming and setting up for sound. We were at the school at that time. We used to set up sound Sunday and Wednesdays and take down. And I remember, you know, Pastor David saying, hey, I was the current guy that was overseeing Sunday school. He was a teacher, but he was going to become a principal and he was going to be leaving. And I remember Pastor David just saying, we need somebody to oversee children's ministry and I want you to pray about doing it. Now, I got to be honest, in my head, I was like, no way, I don't want anything to do with Sunday school. I just got away from that. It's bad, right? That's what I was thinking, though. But I remember, you know, I remember that next day, I told him, I'll pray about it. You know, I'll pray about it. And I remember next day, Alistair Begg was on the radio, and I can't remember what he said, but I remember right after that teaching, calling Pastor David, said, all right, I'll do it. You know, but I had no intention. It was along the way. It was along the way, just serving the Lord. And, you know, that's the way it's been for me. And I'm sure if you also look back, at your own life, you'll see how God has led you. Just because you were on the way. You weren't looking for anything. You were just faithfully serving the Lord. And it happened. The Lord led you. If you look back, you'll see that in your life. That as we're just on the way, just faithfully just serving him, no other motivation than, Lord, I love you. I just want to serve you, whatever you have, and he brings it to pass. It's along the way. Now, we sometimes can say, well, if it's God's will, but we don't move along the way. We sometimes can say, well, if it's God's will, but we don't move along the way, we say, well, if God wants me, you know, this is an example. Listen, if God wants me to get a job, he'll provide. But you don't fill out any applications. If God wants me to get a promotion at work, he'll make it come to pass. But you don't put any hard work into it. You know, we could think that way. Now, I know that the word says that promotion doesn't come from the east and the west. It comes from the Lord. I understand that. I understand that. But we are to be stewards of what's been entrusted to us. We are to be good Christian witnesses. right? We can't just say, well, if it's the Lord's will, he'll make it come to pass. I mean, do we apply that across the board in life? I mean, think about it. If it's God's will, I'll eat today. So do you just sit there and wait for the sandwich to come to you? We don't do that, right? You don't do that. But we apply that when it comes to the things of the Lord and say, well, if it's the Lord's will, and we don't give diligence to get moving along the way. You know, so it's so important. You see, I believe we have to be engaged in the process of being along the way. Now, you could do this by start serving at church. That's a good start. You know, God has a different plan for each of us, so I don't know how it's all going to work out. I can't promise you anything, but, you know, you could start serving in a little area here that has a need and see what God will do. Along the way, for many people, they find their spouses, they find their calling, they find their purpose, they find their gifts. And serving in church is a great place to start, to be led of the Lord. But also our daily lives, in reading God's word, being prayerful, serving the Lord where we are. Are we the hardest worker? Serving the Lord as a parent, as a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife. So I think it's important to get on the way in all those areas that we could be led of the Lord. But we got to get on the way. So I think I made that point. Verse 28. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. So in a second here, we're going to be introduced to Mr. Opportunity. Now, Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. And we're going to read about Laban in the weeks to come. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, listen, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by the camels of the well. And then this is Laban. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? If I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. You know, you can see Laban pouring it on thick here, right? Now, this could be conjecture. This is conjecture on my part, actually. But I could, you know, see him saying, you know, to the servants and Rebecca, get the house ready. Go get everything ready. Him going out like, I prepared a place for you. Like, he's done all this. You know, I could see him. He's like a scoundrel, that guy, Laban. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, this is a servant, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And so I like this. The servant was busy about the master's business. He was on a mission, you know, and he says, I want to get this out. And so he says, speak on. So verse 34, so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. So, you know, I was just thinking, do we talk about our master this way, giving testimony to all that God has done for us, all the riches and blessings that we have in Christ Jesus and in the kingdom? I mean, I love this about how he's giving testimony to his master. And God the Father, he's our master. He's our Lord. Do we give testimony to those of the riches that we have? In verse 37, now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. So we see that the faith of Abraham that he had, knowing that the Lord was going to lead him and guide him. In verse 41, he said, "You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God, my master, of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgins come out to draw water, and to say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with the pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water, and I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also." And I could see Laban on the sidelines going, "Way to go, sis." You know, because Laban, he's an opportunist. "Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from Milcah, bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her and the bracelets on her wrist. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me." So, you know, here again, it's just a repeat of what had happened. He worshiped the Lord. He blessed the Lord who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, verse 49, "If you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "This thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good." So this is just another side note here. When God is leading your life, other people will recognize it. They will see it, they will believe it, and they will support it. Right? When Pastor David was called, it was definitely the Lord, you know, and we see how others came along, they believed it. We see the calling on his life, and we see how all that God is doing, you know. And I remember years ago being in the parking lot. We served at a church together, and Pastor David had asked me, you know, "What do you see yourself doing?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I see myself, you know, just coming alongside of you and helping you." And at that time, he was a worship pastor. I played no instrument. What was I going to come alongside? I had no idea what that meant. He had no idea what that meant. But years later, you know, God has brought that to pass, you know. But it's something that you'll see. They'll recognize the calling on a person's life, you know. And that's what happened. You know, many of us, we've come alongside of Pastor David, all of us, because we recognize the calling that God has on his life. And so it's the same here. Bethuel and Laban, they say this thing is from the Lord. You know, they recognize that. And so verse 51, he says, "Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So here's the servant again, just worshiping the Lord and bowing himself to the earth. "Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. Listen, a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit giving gifts to the church, because Rebekah is a type of the church here. And the unnamed servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. So it's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit giving gifts to the church. "He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother." Now, listen, this is, again, conjecture, but I could think of, here is the servant giving gifts to Rebekah and his mother, and Laban's like, "How about me? How about me? What do I get?" It's funny, right? It doesn't say nothing about the father. It says the mother, Rebekah, and then Laban. I mean, again, that's conjecture on my part, but I could see him saying, like, come on, don't I get something? Can I have something too? You'll understand as we get further in chapters, this Laban and his ways, I guess. So, all right, back in verse 54. "And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and mother said, let the young women stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I go to my master's house. Now, this seems like a very normal request, doesn't it? But listen, I see a picture of the world that wants you to delay getting serious about Jesus. The world says you should wait a while. You don't need to go. Why do you go to church Sundays? You go to church Wednesdays. You go to church all the time. Why do you do that? Isn't Christmas and Easter enough? No. Amen. You know, that's how it was for me. When, you know, I came to know the Lord, and there's friends that I used to hang out with, and they were like, come on, man, this is just a fad, or that's a cult, or, you know, come hang out with us. Why do you have to go? You know, you used to hang out with us all the time. Now all you want to do is go to church. You know, it's the same with Lisa's parents. We used to hang out with Lisa's parents in the garage and drink beer and talk about how horrible life was. You know, because that's what you do. You just talk about how bad things went all day long. And I remember, you know, us, we would still go out there, but we would drink Pepsi instead of drinking beer. And they would get mad, like, why don't, what's wrong with you? Why don't you drink a beer? You're too good to drink a beer. Why don't you drink a beer? You know, that's the way that the world is. The world will always try to hinder and distract you from following after the Lord with a whole heart. I had to sever ties because I knew it would be easier for me to fall back into the things of the world than to bring those that didn't believe up to where I was. And I truly believe that if I tarried in the world, it would have brought me down. And who knows where I would have been or what I would be doing right now. You know, it's the same for all of us. We've made commitments to follow after the Lord. And the world, it wants to hinder you from following after the Lord. Family, friends, those you think that would be rooting you on, that you're doing good. And it's the opposite. They're like telling you, don't follow after the things of the Lord. You're a fanatic. Why are you getting so crazy about this Jesus? So I'm thankful for the Lord that, you know, he gave me the grace and faith to follow after him. You know, Lisa said she's seen a friend of mine that I used to go to school with, and we're the exact same age, and she said he looked like he was 65 years old. You know, that's what living that lifestyle does to you. So don't be distracted. You know, follow after the things of the Lord. They, you know, their intentions were good, but he's like, we got to go. Like, you know, no waiting, no 10 days or nothing. So they said, verse 57, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And it's interesting that this was prearranged, but it involves her choice. Isn't that interesting? It was prearranged, but it still involved choice. And so what motivated Rebekah to make the right decision? She said, I will go. What motivated her to do so? I believe that she heard the word about Isaac, and she believed it. She saw the proof of his greatness, his generosity, his wealth, and wanted to be, or to go with him, to be married to him. Now listen, she had never seen Isaac, but she heard about him, and I believe that she was convinced, and that convinced her to go with the servant. She heard about him, and that convinced her to go with the servant. So look, it's very similar to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And listen to verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Hope, her parents and her friends could have given Rebecca many arguments for waiting and saying no, right? You've never seen this man. This servant, well, he could be a fraud, but I mean, he bestowed a lot of gifts on him, so I don't know if that's a good one, but it's nearly 500 miles to where Isaac lives. You may never see your family again, right? These are all things that could be going through her head. But she was determined to make the long and difficult journey to become the wife of a man she had only heard about. She had never seen him. It's kind of, you know, like our journey of faith, right? Like it said there, like we've never seen him. You know, this is a decision, just like she had to make this decision. This is a decision that every sinner must make if he or she is going to be come to salvation. And ultimately, it says that we are the bride of Christ, to be married to Christ, and to be in heaven. The Holy Spirit says today is a day of salvation, right? So the application we must take out of this is not to delay in making a decision for Christ. It is a decision of faith based on the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit, right? There is evidence of the servant had given her. And if he's a type of the Holy Spirit, there's the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the word and the witness of the church. And the sinner or the person who delays is in danger of losing the opportunity, one, for the sinner to become part of God's family, and for the believer to be led of the Lord and to discover what our purpose and calling is. Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 15, this is just a part of it, so I won't ask you to turn there. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if we hear his voice, do not harden our hearts. Charles Spurgeon once said to his congregation concerning Genesis 24 here, he said, 10 days did not seem too long, but they might have been 10 days too late. One day does not seem much, but one day more may be one day too late. And one day too late is to be too late forever. Yea, 1 minute too late can be an eternity too late. You know, so it's just about, you know, today, if God's pricking your heart to follow after him, to have a greater commitment to him. I believe all of us are saved that are here tonight, but you know, to continue to follow after the Lord and what he's calling us to do. So she answered a question, right? They called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, yes, I will go. In verse 59, so they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And that's an interesting statement. You know, I can only imagine that the servant must have shared the covenant promise that God had made with Abraham. You know, so they're saying, go and be the mother, because that's not normal. Do you go around telling people, be the mother of tens of 10,000? So it must be at some point that the servant must have shared that with Abraham. So then in verse 61, we begin to see the completion of God's promise in Abraham's request for finding a wife for Isaac. It says, verse 61, then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate. Now, to meditate means to muse or to commune or to speak. And I see this as just a picture of him communing with the Lord in the field in the evening. And it says, and he lifted his eyes and he looked, and there the camels were coming. Now, Beer Lahai means the well of the living one who sees me. The well of the living one who sees me. The name of the well would be an encouragement to Isaac as he waited for the return of the servant. The well of the one who lives and sees me. We see that in Genesis 16, 14. So he is a living God who sees everything and plans all things for his glory and for the good of his children. That's so important to understand. The good of his children. For his thoughts for us, they're for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Do we believe that? Verse 64, then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted. Now listen, this means to fall, to lie down, or to cast down from her camel. This is, she fell off the camel. That's what the definition of this word is. It's not like she got off. She like probably seen Isaac, was like, oh my gosh, she jumped off. Great first impression, huh? Verse 65, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. She took a veil and covered herself. So we see the two seeing each other at a distance. Rebekah fell off her camel, and then she puts this veil, and that was a mark of her modesty and her submission. You know, there's going to be a day very soon, I believe, when our long journey to the groom is going to be over. You know, we're on a journey right now, but one day Jesus is going to come back for us. And we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isaiah 25, 9 says this, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isn't that awesome? In verse 66, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. So certainly the servant told Isaac how the Lord had led him and guided him along the way. You know, it's the same way for us. The Holy Spirit is so faithful to lead us in all truth. In verse 67, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted at his servant's death. Now, remember, the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And there's a picture here of him coming to the earth to get the bride of Christ, and then at some point bringing the bride to Jesus, or Isaac. Now, it's interesting that Isaac is not mentioned in the scripture since Mount Moriah. Remember the picture that was there in Genesis 22. In a sense, picturing that Jesus leaving the earth and waiting for his bride in heaven. That's what that picture, that typology is there. Paul, in talking about marriage in Ephesians 5:32, says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In Revelation, there's a picture of the marriage supper in heaven. Revelations chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Thank you, Jesus. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. That's awesome. That's awesome. So this is a wonderful Old Testament picture of things to come. A story of a father sending his servant to find a bride for his only son. And as I said before, remember, Abraham represents God the Father, Isaac representing Jesus, the servant represents the Holy Spirit, and Rebecca represents us, the church. It's just a wonderful picture here in Genesis 24. Now, question, what is our response to his proposal? The Bible said that he has loved us with an everlasting love. When Rebecca heard about the wealthy father with a beloved son, she didn't hesitate. She was invited to leave her old life and find a new life with the son. And tonight we've heard about a father with a beloved son. The servant invites you to follow him, right? The Holy Spirit is inviting us to follow him and experience all the riches in a relationship with the son. And the question is, will we? Will we in a greater way? You know, as God challenges us every day in a greater way to follow after him more and more, to be busy along the way and to be led and to be guided by him. As we continue to do that, we continue to find what our purposes are, what our gifts are. We begin to use them for God's kingdom. Amen?